So we lost a great storyteller today. Maurice Sendak died early this morning in Danbury, Connecticut at 83 after writing more than 100 books in his 60-year career. A few favorites, Chicken Soup with Rice, about the boy who sings a rhyming song for every month of the year. In the Night Kitchen, another boy falls out of bed and into cake batter in a fantastical kitchen run by three Oliver Hardy look-alike bakers. And, of course, the 1964 classic Where the Wild Things Are, about the night little Max wore his wolf suit and made mischief of one kind and another.
So he was sent to bed without eating anything. That very night, in Max's room, a forest grew. And grew.
That book earned Maurice Sendak both acclaim and controversy. It was thought his stories were too dark for children. We spoke to him in 2008. In his honor, we present excerpts from that conversation again. We began by asking where the Wild Things Are came from.
Well, that comes from our relatives. All the Wild Things are relatives who were brought over by my parents during World War II when they were trying to get Jewish people out of Europe. And these are the ones in my mother's family, because that's what my father thought appropriate. And he got most of her siblings out and her mother, but that was it. And when he turned to his own family, they were gone.
Oh. Well, how much of the storytelling is about that, you know, about taming the monsters by looking in their eyes?
Well, yes, I have never claimed to be a writer of children's books. I wrote honestly. I wrote about my life. I wrote about what was happening. There were many bleak, dark moments. I wanted to be very, very honest. I also knew that the worst thing you could do to children is lie. And not appreciate the fact that the truth, no matter how painful, is more acceptable to them than some nonsense story. And I've gotten in trouble over that in terms of some of the books I did. Some people thought the Wild Things were too frightening. I've tried not to care about that because, as I said, I didn't set myself out to write books for children or to make life easier or charming or funny. If it is, it is, and sometimes it is funny. But I'm a writer and an illustrator, and I take my work seriously.
Should we look for these references in other stories? For instance, you know, I'm thinking of Mickey, the little boy in the Night Kitchen, a personal favorite, falls out of bed, as we said, past his mom, into the cake batter in the Night Kitchen. But I can't help but notice now that he narrowly escapes the oven. You know, he was going to be baked.
And you got it.
Oh, really?
You got it. And did you notice the bakers have little Hitler mustachios?
I do now.
Yep.
Yeah. And he makes his way out by making a plane out of bread dough. Now that breaks my heart.
No? Well, don't let it break your heart. Continue to enjoy the book. But I think it thickens and makes more profound, if I dare use that word, the work in hand. That it comes from those sources. I grew up during all of that. I was born just at the beginning of it, and I had to see what sufferings my parents went through. It was not to be believed.
Yeah. Your biographer, the playwright Tony Kushner, he writes that you suffer a book rather than write one. You suffer a book.
I think under pressure he would have to admit that he suffers a play.
Yeah, but yours are supposed to be children's books, but you've revealed to us what you know, part of what you're bringing to the table. And we understand, you know, so hard at times that you actually suffered a nervous breakdown doing Outside Over There.
Correct.
Why? What was...
I don't know. The book was of an extremely personal nature. My sister was in it. Mozart was in it. Important people in my life were in that book, and it brought me low. It brought me low because it probably touched on very deep unconscious things that the artist, of course, is always struggling to bring up and put down on paper and solve and win.
It's laid out like a children's storybook with beautiful illustrations, but it tells of an infant who gets kidnapped by goblins and how big sister Ida must go find the baby outside over there. And Maurice Sendak, I'm thinking of how your mother was able to save her siblings from outside over there, but your father couldn't.
See, that was always an immensely fascinating place for me, because that's where they came from. They did get my grandmother. The only grandparent I have is my mother's mother. And the stories she told were so frightening, were so chilling. Jewish people in tiny villages where nobody wanted them. And so they were not the cheerful stories. I didn't grow up on Robin Hood. I didn't grow up on Oz. So to be sad and quiet, I'm afraid, was what childhood was like.
Well, and then you add to that, you say it was in part inspired by the 1932 Lindbergh baby kidnapping, which probably terrified a lot of children.
Oh, well, correct. I mean, that was just about the worst that could happen. And so it was no way that childhood could be some Winnie the Pooh nonsense.
Yeah.
Unless you happen to be fortunate enough to be Christopher Robin. Fate put me where it put me, and it put a lot of kids in much worse conditions than I was in. But it leaves its big, fat handprint on you.
Yeah. Well, we rush to say, too, that if you don't read it with that backstory, I mean, even if you do, I mean, we have so much fun in the night kitchen, you know, making dough into an airplane and falling in a milk bottle.
Well, you see, it's a funny idea. I loved it. I thought it was such a funny idea. And it made me remember my mother, who made marvelous cookies, and they came out all different shapes. That the other thing is creep in is something I can't prevent.
And when I see Where the Wild Things Are Today, I see Shrek. I see, what was that, Monsters,
yes,
Inc., where the little,
yes,
boy goes through the wall? I see all of those monsters that aren't really monsters.
Well, I think I can say this honestly without sounding vain. You wouldn't have seen them pre-Wild Things.
Yeah.
Wild Things did break the wall. It did come out and say there were such things as nightmares and creatures that children had to contend with, that adults have to contend with. And yet, I don't want to make light of that fear, because how could we not be fearful for our children? So even if sometimes, you know, I get annoyed that somebody thinks something of mine is too frightening for their kid, well, then I always just tell them, don't read it. Because some things are, and there are some who just will be frightened at anything. Often they change those conclusions later. It's nice. In the old days when I would be at college and some person would shake my hand firmly and say, boy, that book really scared me as a kid, but I just love it now. And that's great. That's what art is. We learn.